I'm going to end our epistles to Timothy. But first of all, you know, what are Pauline epistles? The Pauline epistles include the collection of letters written by the Apostle Paul that are part of the New Testament. In fact, there are 13 writings in the epistles of Paul. Let me tell you what they are. They are Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. You see, these are 11 epistles out of 27 books in the New Testament. These epistles are of theological importance because it gives us belief and teach us about salvation, about the church, about Jesus Christ and the future. I mean, look at Romans. Romans is a theological treatise produced for believers in Rome approximately about 55 AD. And the 1st and 2nd Corinthians are two letters for believers in Corinth to address problems within the local church. And Galatians were written to Christians to modern-day Turkey, focused largely on the relationship between Christ and the Jewish law. And what about Ephesians? Ephesians were written to highlight the glory of God, to speak of the way of salvation, and to address a wide variety of practical matters within the church, including spiritual warfare. And Philippians is a very positive letter to Christians in Philippi who have supported Paul in his missionary work. Colossians is a very short book. It offers a strong focus on the deity of Jesus Christ and applications for believers to live out what they believe. And the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Paul spent only a short time with believers in this new church and felt the need to write two letters with basic instructions of how believers and the local church were to function. And of course, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Paul calls Timothy the young pastor. He wrote two letters before his death in Rome. The letters of Timothy are filled with church leadership and personal growth. These letters are some of Paul's most personal correspondence. And what about Titus? Titus, written shortly before Paul's death, becomes known as one of the pastoral epistles and deals with many church leadership issues. And Philemon, of course, as you know, is the shortest of Paul's letter. It focuses on Philemon, a Christian slave owner, to release a runaway slave, Onesimus, who had become a Christian under Paul's influence. You see, the importance of Paul's writing is invaluable to Christian faith. God uses former persecutor of Christianity, Paul, who was known as Saul, to take the gospel message to the Gentiles, to us, in the present world, to a non-Jewish world, leaving instructions and inspiration that continue to change the lives today, the global church. 2 Timothy is a very dynamic letter. It is authentic and genuine. You see, Paul had been recently arrested in Rome under the orders of Emperor Nero. During Nero's reign as Emperor of Rome, he took great light in the persecution and killing of Christians. Nero will be responsible for the death of both Apostle and Peter. So this letter in 2 Corinthians is written just before Paul's death. Paul wants to make sure he tells Timothy, the young pastor, everything in his heart while he still has a chance. More than anything, the letter of 2 Timothy is a changing of the guard. Paul passes on the torch of ministry to Timothy, the young pastor. One of the greatest spectacles of the Olympic Games is the passing of the torch. One person has fulfilled their duties and responsibilities, and now the same duties and responsibilities are passed on to the next person, and so on. Paul has finished his turn of carrying the torch of the gospel of Christ. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now it is the turn of Timothy to carry the torch and finish the leg of the race. So Paul's words to Timothy were filled with principles and sounds, advice on how Timothy could be an effective leader in the church. Like Timothy, we are currently taking our turn and running with the torch of the gospel. We need to hear Paul's words and apply them to our lives today so that we can be effective in our service to God. This letter that is written is just like Paul writing to us today. He is saying, dear brethren, dear sisters, at New Life Bible Presbyterian Church, Queen's Park. Yes, this letter is written to us. As we have read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the present promise of which is in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing to us. He is recalling our tears to see us, that we may be filled with joy. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now live for you alone. You see, our emphasis centers around Paul's words in verse 6, in which he tells Timothy to stir up the gift of God. It means to fan into flame, to fan into flame the gift that he has received from God. It is commonly accepted that Timothy had a gift for ministry. Timothy was capable of starting churches, of teaching and preaching and even evangelizing. So Paul's message to Timothy is fully to express his gift of ministry, not to hold back in his work for Christ. Paul encourages Timothy to fan the flame, to stir up the gift of God, to express his grief, not to hold back. There are four important points in this text that we have read. Firstly, I begin with the word F, family, family ties. We all have family ties. We all have heritage. We can trace our families back to where they originated, knowing the careers they worked and the lives they had. Our ancestors lived common continuing to shape our lives even today. Our last names, bear our ancestors' mark. Even our health is connected to our ancestors. Our family heritage gives us a complete picture of our identity, who we are, and where we come from. Likewise, as Christians, we have a spiritual heritage. Our spiritual heritage consists of people that introduce us to Christ Jesus and help us to mature our faith. Sometimes we can remember the time when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and in fact the time when we accepted him as our personal Savior. Paul says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louise and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." You see, Timothy grew up in a house of faith under his mother and grandmother. His mother and his grandmother were both Jewish, but Timothy's father was a Gentile. It was his mother and grandmother who taught Timothy about God. In this time period of Timothy, it was common until the age of 7 for a Roman boy's mother to be his formative influence up to the age of 7. Since Timothy's father was not religious, being a Gentile, it was customary that boys without a living religious father learn about the law from their grandmothers as they were still living. That's why Timothy's grandmother and his mother, both Jewish, were a great influence in his upbringing. His mother Eunice and grandmother Louise were great women of faith, and Paul sees that Timothy has followed in their footsteps. Indeed, the strength and guidance was that which carried on the torch of ministry that Paul is passing on to Timothy. What makes our spiritual heritage? Who was it that helped our faith? Can we still go back to those people in time of decision? Are they still active in your faith today? Even more important is the spiritual heritage that is in you. Besides Timothy's mother and grandmother, Paul made a substantial part of Timothy's spiritual heritage. He says to Timothy, "My dear son." It is this spiritual heritage that will help Timothy fan the flame in this gift of ministry. Next thing, the word fan. Fan means to stir up the gift of God. In order for Timothy to fan his flame, his gift of ministry, he must draw on his spiritual heritage. He must also develop that gift. Paul encourages him to say, "For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame in the gift of God, which is through you, through the laying of hands." Fan the flame, stir up the gift. Paul means to rekindle that flame. The gift that God has given Timothy is like a fire. It's burning inside him. Paul wants Timothy to develop this gift, not to waste it. Paul wants Timothy to intensify the fire within him. Paul wants him to overcome with passion for this gift that God has given him to its fullest potential. to stir up the gift in him, to fan the flame. There's a story that some people went into the jungle, and in their daily life, they cleared, there was a forest clearing, they got together a pile of wood, and then they built a fire, and they had a flame, so as to keep warm and to cook. Not realizing that while this group of people were building the fire and putting the flame, the monkeys in the trees were looking at them. So after 2 and 3 days, they came to a clearing, and they found that the monkeys had actually put a group of pile of wood, and they were sitting around it, but they couldn't. There was no flame. The monkeys did not know how to put the flame. So you see, Paul wants Timothy to fan the flame. Paul tells us that we all have been gifted, just as Timothy was gifted. Are we developing the flame that is within us? Are we developing the gift that God has given us? How are you developing your flame within you? Yes, fan into flame the gift that God has given to you. Make it burn intensely in your heart, that you can help and exercise that at all times. Do not waste what God has given you. The third F is function. Function. Paul instructed Timothy to fan the flame, to stir up the gift within him, by drawing on his family ties to develop this gift and to develop a new spirit of godliness. You see, Timothy was known for his timidity. He was a bit shy and sensitive. We know how he wept when Paul had left him previously. So Paul reminded Timothy that God has given him a new spirit. For Paul says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, a spirit of power and love and sound and of sound mind. Let me read again. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does this mean, of power? Timothy would have to take on a more authoritative role and rely on the power of God to sustain him throughout his time. This would prove to be different because of Timothy's age. He was probably in his early 20s or mid-30s. And yet he was still a youth in the faith. This is probably why Paul wrote these words to Timothy. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in faith, and in purity. The next thing, the power of love. What is this love? It is agape. It is agape. For Christ Jesus that gave up his life on the cross for the salvation of you and for me. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, if you have given yourself to Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life now. Timothy must take that same spirit of love to fulfill his ministry, as we must also fulfill the ministry, the gift that God has given to each and every one. The next thing is sound mind. What does sound mind? It means a self-discipline. Timothy is going to show a lot of self-discipline and apply himself to keep the fire burning inside of him. He's going to continually stoke the fire and keep it burning brightly and intensely to keep the flame going. You see, we are no different than Timothy. We must also take on the spirit of godliness, of power and love, and of a sound mind that Paul describes. The word sticks out in verse 7 is, God has given us. God has given us not the spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The word is us. He has given each one of us that power, that love, and that sound mind. The same spirit that Paul given to Timothy has given to us as well. You see, we must exercise our gifts with the power of God, the love of God, and of sound mind, a discipline that comes from God. Next, Paul tells us, listen what the Paul has said. Let me read what Paul has said. He said, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. This grace that God has given us is to testify us that we can fulfill the function of the gospel of Christ. It's a simplicity in the gospel of Christ that gives us a lightning rod to prove the claim. The gospel is incredibly good news that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. That Jesus lived a perfect life as man and died a terrible death on the cross for each one of us. He died that we might be saved and that we might receive salvation. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. It is through his death, his resurrection, his punishment for our sins, that we can have eternal life with God in heaven. It is this gospel that holds the message of salvation for mankind. In Romans 1:16 it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. This gospel of Jesus Christ is so important for each and every one of us. The story is that one man was saying to his friend, I have listened to 3,000 sermons in my life, and I can't remember a single one. And his friend said to him, your wife has cooked 30,000 meals for you in your lifetime, Can you remember a single recipe? His friend said, if you did not eat those meals, you will be malnourished, you will be starving, you will be miserable. Inasmuch as you have listened to the 3,000 sermons, you are now at peace with yourself. You are no longer miserable. You are no longer a drug addict. You are no longer a drunkard. Yes, it is this gospel that Timothy and ourselves are called to guard, to fulfill the function that God has given us. We must not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some think it is foolishness, but we must guard it and protect it and embrace it as the very words of eternal life, of forgiveness of sins. The gospel is seen as a good thing which must be committed for us to keep. It is like a good deposit that must be guarded and protected from corruption so that it is passed on and not lost. In Paul's time, a person trusted with a deposit of money to watch for someone to be able to multiply it. It is the same with the gospel. We share the message with others and others to come to accept the gospel and also accept their lives in Jesus Christ. So Paul tells Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you in your care. Paul is speaking of the gospel to Timothy as he is speaking to us today. For the gospel is authoritative, it is corrective, it is effective, it is dynamic and trustworthy. Be not ashamed of the gospel. Be truthful. Do not be embarrassed. Do not be tempted to alter the gospel. Yes, do not be ashamed of it. There's a story that a man and a church member and his wife met a new couple in church. And this man was telling the new couple that they were a very friendly fellowship. And they were not only friendly in the church, they were also friendly in the neighborhood. And then they went home. And this church member and his wife looked out of the window and they saw their neighbor's car driving into the driveway. And when the people stepped out of that car, it was the couple in the church where they had said they were very friendly and knew their neighborhood. There's another story that a housewife was giving a party to friends. And in the morning she woke up and she suddenly remembered that she had forgotten to put the spaghetti sauce in the fridge. So she rang up the poison center and she said, I'm giving a party to friends this evening and I forgot to put the spaghetti sauce in the fridge. And the people from the poison center say, boil the spaghetti sauce and it will be alright. Okay. So that dinner, they had a big dinner and they had a good time. And suddenly there was a phone call and someone picked up the phone and listened. And the person said, this is from the poison center. They asked, How was the spaghetti sauce? That must be a great embarrassment to all the guests when they heard that the message from the poison center about the spaghetti sauce. Yes, indeed. We must never become embarrassed with the message of Jesus Christ. We must preserve it. We must not be ashamed of it. Yes, maybe you have a heart of love. Maybe you have a lifetime of service in the church. But have you spoken the word of God? Have you told others of the love of God, of Jesus Christ? Have you spoken the word and passed on the message to each and everyone? There is a story of a man at King Cross Station. And this man would come up to each and everyone and say, "If you died tonight, where will you spend eternity? If you died tonight, where will you spend eternity?" And he came up to a business executive who came out of King Cross Station, and he said, "If you died tonight, where would you spend eternity?" Now, this business executive was very busy, and in the evening, he thought over these words, "If I died tonight, where would I spend eternity?" So the next few days, he met another friend who was a church member. And he said, "You know, somebody confronted me at King Cross Station and asked me, if I died tonight, where would I spend eternity?" And the friend said, "Oh, don't worry. Come to church and you will find out." Well, indeed, he attended church. And he came to know Jesus Christ. For eternity is eternal life. God gave, so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So this business executive became a Christian, and he believed in eternal life. 10 years later, he passed through King Cross Station, and a wizened old man came up to him and said, "He said, I know what you're going to say. You're going to ask me, if I died tonight, where would I spend eternity?" And this old man was very surprised. He said, "You remember, 10 years ago, you said the same thing to me. And I went to find out, and now I'm a Christian. And I find out that there are other friends who have heard your message and become a Christian." And this risen old man was so happy. He said, "For 20 years, I have spoken this message to everyone who comes through King Cross Station. And now I know there is a result of what I have said." Yes. Paul is telling Timothy to carry on. To spend the word, to preach the word, to exercise the gift that God has given him. How can we be effective Christians? How can we stir up the gift within us? How can we fan into flame the gift that God has given us? By drawing on our family ties, by developing those gifts, and displaying a spirit of godliness, of power and love, and a sound mind. You see, in order to become effective Christians, we must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We must be able to tell others about God. Guard the gospel of Jesus Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Had a heart of love, a life of service, and speak the word. For how shall they believe if there's no one to tell them, if they have not heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Think not how shall confess with the word of Lord Jesus Christ, and shall become within thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believe in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart men believe into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation in the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has died. He is risen. And he will come again. Amen.